T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game, post-Major League Baseball trade deadline edition. Alongside Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenball. It is great to have you in, as Greg Papa will join us at 7:30. John Morosi on the Sonny Gray fallout and what's next for the Giants at 8:05. And mark it down, the general manager of the San Francisco Giants, Bobby Evans, will join us at 9:30. As for giveaways, $1,000 at 7 a.m., $1,000 at 8 a.m. We've also got tickets to tonight's Bay Bridge Series matchup, Giants at A's. We're giving those away at 7:20 and 8:20. Dibs, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
A huge day in store between now and this evening. How will you be preparing for the celebrity golf shootout?
It starts with the nap. You know, I've already got some food coming in, drinking a lot of water, hit a ton of golf balls yesterday with my boy Keon. My son and I went out to the Montclair driving range, so the game is sharp.
So you put some work in.
I've been playing really well. Confidence is high. I've played the course before. I'm just going to go home and do some mental reps, grab a nap. Tee time, 5 o'clock at TPC Stonebrae.
Now, very happy to welcome in Brad Gilbert, who's joining us this morning. BG. Thank you for being here.
Good morning. I like that you have a plan. A nap is, you know, key. But what is your, tell me, like, if you envision a perfect scenario.
Perfect scenario would be 90-minute nap, wake up, stretch, a little light gardening, pick up Nate. Keon's good buddy's going with us, Nate. Get up there at 4 and, you know, go right to the range. Range opens at 4. Give me a solid 40-minute workout. Roll a couple putts. Have a little water, maybe a diet soda, and I'm ready.
BG, you've played in major events. You are no stranger to the big stage. This is one of the biggest stages of Dan Dibley's golf career. Mentally, what kind of advice would you give him?
Are you playing 18?
No, 5 holes. It's a celebrity shootout.
5 holes. What's the line on what's he going
to
shoot?
I'm still working on that because I've got to figure out 5 holes. I need to know which 5 holes. Right. I need to know how many par 5s, par 3s. I'm figuring there's going to be some nerves early. However, there is an advantage because he's in a group with 3 big names. He might be considered, as he said, not me.
Yeah.
He might be the lesser known of some of the names when you're compared to a guy like Lorenzo Neal. So you might be able to fly beneath the radar.
You know what? Just tell yourself to relax, breathe, and just put it down Main Street.
Yeah.
Just, you know, step up, you know.
Dibs, it's easy.
Easy game. Easy game, Brad. Then, the ball's not moving.
And then go out there and just put it on the green and then knock it in.
No. You know what? Don't overanalyze it. Don't overthink it. Just, and more than anything, just have fun.
Be the ball is what you're saying.
Be the ball.
Be the ball.
Be the ball. Now, we will, at some point today, establish a line on the Lorenzo Neal, Dan Dibley super team that will be taking on another super team this evening, led off by Klay Thompson and Andre Iguodala. I would say that Iguodala and Thompson, slight favorites. Slight favorites, no disrespect, but I've seen them play. I've seen you guys play. You never know which low Neal game you're going to get. But True. We'll have a line for you later. We've got to get into Sonny Gray, the fallout from the trade with the Yankees, and what's next for the Giants. All that in a minute. But for right now, here's Dibs with your update.
Well, Sonny's in pinstripes, gentlemen. The long-awaited, long-dreaded day has come to pass. Oakland trades Sonny Gray to the Yankees for Jorge Mateo, James Caprellian, and outfielder Dustin Fowler. Injuries among some of the prospects they get back. More on that in a minute. The team also traded Adam Rosales to Arizona for single-A pitcher Jefferson Mejia. Story number 2 was the game. The Bay Bridge Series started off with a bang for Oakland.
And Contos from the stretch. And now the 1-1 pitch, here it is. And Marcus hits a deep drive into center. Span going back. Span at the track. Right to the wall. He will watch a grand slam to center field by Marcus Semien.
Ken Korak the call here on 95.7 The Game. 8-5 A's win game 2 in the series is tonight. Some other Giants news. Johnny Cueto had to leave his rehab start in San Jose with forearm tightness. Story number 3, the Raiders get some great news as the grand jury elects not to pursue charges against Gary and Conley. He still is on the physically unable to perform list with shin splints. Carl Joseph was in at camp. He was on the Greg Papa Show talking about this year.
Oh, man, you seen the guy that was just out there trying to play football and prove myself. And this year, I think you're going to see a whole different guy. You know, I understand defense a lot better, much more comfortable. You know, it's even the little things, you know, learn how to interact.
That's Carl Joseph with the air horn, adding the punctuation mark there. Greg Papa Show live again from Napa today, noon to 3. Donald Penn, by the way, still holding out, yet to arrive in camp. That's your update. I'm Dan Dibley. On your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors, it's 95.7 the game.
Thank you, Dibs. The day has finally arrived. Sonny Gray is a member of the New York Yankees. He and $1.5 million in international bonus money shipped to New York yesterday afternoon in exchange for 22-year-old Dustin Fowler. Fowler, you may remember, was the right fielder who, in his major league debut earlier this year with the Yankees, slid into the right field wall while trying to chase down a foul ball, wrecked his knee. He suffered a torn patella tendon in the right knee. It was June 30th. Is expected to be ready to return next year, but he's got some work to do. In addition, 23-year-old right-handed pitcher James Kaprielian, 6'4", 200 pounds. This is a guy who this year, at 23 years of age, was expected to make his major league debut. But he underwent Tommy John surgery in April. He's got a four-pitch mix led by his fastball, curveball, slider, and changeup. Before surgery, like we mentioned, he was expected to join the Yankees this year. In addition, 22-year-old Jorge Mateo, he's an outfielder with a ton of speed. He's had an interesting season for the Yankees, was at one point their top prospect, had some struggles, was suspended by the team for running his mouth to executives for not being promoted. He's considered now to be maybe the eighth best prospect within the organization, but like I said, a ton of speed, 39 steals in 70 games spread out between high A in Tampa and double A in Trenton. So, BG, I'm going to come right to you. For a few years now, it's been, are the A's going to move Sonny? When's it going to happen? Who's it going to be? What are they going to get in return? Now that Sonny Gray's officially been dealt, how do you feel?
Pitiful. To me, it's just the same MO every time. A guy is about to get into arbitration, and it's a long-term situation signing him. Donaldson, Cespedes, now Sonny Gray. Usually, it's the most popular player as well. But to sign him, obviously, you know, we don't have anything, no shovel in the ground. And to get back two guys that are coming off of surgery, I'm scratching my head. I mean, you would hope that you would get a couple of healthy players, but basically if you're another team like the Yankees, like the A's sometimes are usually our farm team, let's pick their pocket on something.
Is there something to be said for the fact that with Sonny playing a high brand of baseball, a high level of baseball over the last month or so, the fact that the organization didn't screw around thinking maybe they could get more and then risk a potential injury or some sort of disaster that could jeopardize a big haul? These are three highly regarded prospects, but they come with a couple red flags. Mateo, obviously, suspended by the team earlier this year. Kaprielian coming off Tommy John. And then you've got Dustin Fowler coming off the knee surgery. So, all being said and done, if the organization was going to make the move, do you like the manner in which they went about it?
I would have just preferred that they assess that Sonny Gray potentially for the next 5 years could be our ace and not to have gotten rid of him. And if you, I mean, what a concept, you know,
it's blasphemy.
Yeah. You actually have a guy that you like, you've cultivated him, keep him. But then again, they keep bluffing us, telling us they're going to put a shovel in the ground, and I don't see any stadium going anywhere yet.
That news needs to come down soon. The fan, you got to give the fans something, do you not, Dibs?
On the heels of this, with the Sonny Gray trade, you would like to hear that, but they've always said it would be by the end of the year. I don't know if it was calendar year or baseball year, but you're right. This is a fan base that would love to hear some good news as yet another fan favorite goes out the door. I guess the only consolation is you did beat your rival in the opener of the four-game set, which is always nice. Big crowd, lovely night in Oakland, but the pain of Sonny being gone definitely hurts.
Let me ask you something. Based on the fact that the Giants didn't make any moves whatsoever, Nunez obviously was the one, but they stood pat, and Bobby Evans is going to join us to talk about that and more at 9:30 today. And based on what you saw the A's do and where both teams are right now, next season, who's going to win more games? next season, is it the A's winning more games or is it the Giants winning more games? And which team is likely to get back to the postseason first? That's coming up next. Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
The longer you hang with us, the more you'll notice today's musical theme, 1989, as in the Bay Bridge series.
89, Smooth Criminal. I mean, what a follow-up. What a follow-up to Thriller. No one thought it could be done. Bad was a great album. Say what you want. You'll never match Thriller. Off the Wall, probably better than Thriller, but Thriller, the number one hit. I'll never forget when this came out. I was like 40 when this album came out.
Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game. $1,000 to give away at 7, $1,000 to give away at 8. Tickets to tonight's game, Giants-A's, to give away at 7:20 and 8:20. And a conversation with Bobby Evans today at 9:30 a.m. Hit us up on social media, Twitter specifically, at 957 The Game, to answer the following question. Next season, which team will win more Major League Baseball games? The Oakland Athletics or the San Francisco Giants? 3-4 months ago, that question would have sounded absurd, but here we are on August 1st. The Giants, at 40-67 with a winning percentage of just .374, are the worst team in baseball. The A's, 47-59, a .443 winning percentage, the second worst team in the American League. Not exactly a who's who of juggernauts meeting. But still, 38,000 plus showed up last night, and it's always a hell of a time when these two get together. Dibs, start with you. Next season, if you had to throw down money, who's winning more games, the A's or the Giants?
I'm going to go with the A's, Joe.
Really?
I'm going with the A's.
Wow.
You look at what the Giants are going to bring back, and it's going to be largely the same core of players. I think the A's now, with another ripping off of the Band-Aid, another turning of the page with these young players, they got so much upside. You get Kendall Graveman back to a rotation that's already pretty deep. I don't think you'll miss Sonny Gray that much. I think the A's are closer to .500, slightly below, and the Giants are close to .500, but below the A's.
BG, 2018. Do the A's win more games than the Giants?
Geez, that's a good question. Based upon the Giants from the All-Star game of 2016 to 2017, have by far the worst record in baseball. They got a couple of tomato cans for starters. That they're paying $40 million. I'd say Vegas would probably have the line set for the Giants, maybe 70-72 games.
No. I would say I think that
based upon the last 150 games,
they're going to have to play it based on perception, though, because you're going to have a lot of people that want to bet the over on the Giants regardless. This leads into a conversation, the difference between true odds and posted odds. You're talking about true odds.
True odds.
You actually see them landing.
The last probably the last 175 games, they're like 40-something games under .500. I'm thinking 70 is around accurate based upon what they've done. I'd say the A's will go smoke and mirrors and maybe win 75 games. You know, kind of like what they're, you know, around this year, 75, 87. But no, I don't think either one of them have any shot of sniffing the playoffs.
What makes this even more interesting this morning is the fact that last night, Johnny Cueto, who had requested one rehab start before rejoining the big club. If you recall, Cueto was put on the 10-day DL due to blisters. Cueto went and made a start last night, was expected to throw 70 pitches, but exited after throwing just 34 pitches with the dreaded forearm tightness. Now, this is what Mark Melanson's battling. Doesn't always necessarily mean that there's something significantly wrong, but you talk, Brad, about the tomato can pitchers that are currently on the roster. I believe you were referring to, say, Matt Cain and Jeff Samardzija. If Cueto isn't able to come back next year at 100%, that's going to significantly dent this team's chances of getting back on track anytime in the near future.
Well, they have a huge payroll in the pitching staff. And obviously they have Mad Bum way under value, which helps a ton. But the Giants, unlike the A's, can overcome some bad contracts because they seem to go a lot deeper into spending. But if those two guys, you know, to me, I don't know what they could have got for Samardzija, but whatever they could have got, that would have been a great play to get rid of him. But the guy's a career under .500 guy who eats some innings, but he's a close to 5 ERA guy. if Kane and Samardzija are penciled in as starters next year, you got problems. You got problems. I don't know that you're overcoming that. That's why I think they're more like a 70-win team. And maybe if that's all they are, do you think the Giants general manager will start feeling some heat?
Well, he's going to join us at 9:30 today. We'll ask him about the latest as it pertains to Johnny Cueto and if there was a deal that could have been made at yesterday's trade deadline. It's Joe, it's Dibs, it's Brad Gilbert. It's 95.7 The Game. Hit us up at 957thegame.com to answer the following question, which is the Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily and Novato Chevrolet. Who was the biggest winner at the trade deadline? A lot of options to choose from. The Dodgers are one, but that might not be the best overall selection. Michael in San Francisco, thank you for calling the program, 888-957-9570. Michael in San Francisco, floor is yours. Go ahead.
Okay, good morning, fellas. I wake up in the morning and listen to you every morning because I'm up about this time, and I like the way you guys go back and forth. So I want to join the crew and go back and forth with
sure.
you. Okay, first of all, the Sonny Gray trade. Come on, guys. Come on. I'm 59. I grew up a mile and a half away from the Coliseum. The Sonny Gray trade works like this. Billy Beane was right. Diminutive pitchers don't get far in Major League Baseball. Don't get me wrong. I'm 5'10", 220 pounds. So it's not a thing about talking about people's size. But those pitchers don't go far. The only exception to the rule was Pedro Martinez. Billy was right. He came up, he had a few good seasons, then he started getting hurt. You know, that's the first sign to let us know. And Billy tried to get rid of him right away, knowing right after that good season he had, he was a good trade opportunity. Look, I'm a diehard fan. It's better than anyone. I've been to the smallest crowds ever at the Coliseum. And I go there regularly. It's like my girlfriend. I will never give up on Oakland A's. But let's cease and desist with the doom and gloom thing, okay? Okay, we're trying to do our best. We are a team that's been to the World Series like seven or eight times in my lifetime. And Billy's trying. Billy shot his best shot when he gave up the ship when he acquired the guys from the Cubs and everything. And then he finally then went back to traditional baseball. Let's try to build a winner through the minor league system. And the draft and the players that they're getting in the hall in return for Sonny, I think are pretty good. I just want to believe and stop. And one more thing, please, guys, stop with the Coliseum thing about we're looking for a new stadium. It's going to happen. I believe it's really going to happen. When you guys do these things to our fan base, you help build that negativity that runs with when they're going to see a new stadium. We're going to see a new stadium, guys. I love you guys, but let's stay home. And they're going to do something this time. Sonny Gray had to go. It was a great trade. I think what we got in the hall. Couple players injured, but I mean, if say the best case scenario, if they come through, man, it was a hell of a trade.
Yeah, we'll see, Michael. Thank you for the phone call. You promised us a little back and forth. I had to step in, Brad. After that was great. The great call.
He's on point for 6:22 in the morning, Michael. That was a
super sharp.
Okay, listen to this. I don't want to be doom and gloom. I'm 56 years old. I'm a diehard A's fan my whole life, but what are they showing us to make us believe? I mean, Fisher is doing his best to show us that he's Chris Cohen. I'm just talking about on his watch. Finally, we got rid of Lou Wolf, but I don't have a lot of confidence. I mean, how am I supposed to have confidence? You know, show us something. Give us a bone. You know, show us that you're going to keep players. You're going to build a new stadium.
I think it boils down to patience, and no fan ever wants to hear patience. And this is where it becomes so interesting. Look at the dynamic locally. You've got a team in San Francisco that's telling you, despite all indications that they should be headed for a rebuild, they're telling you, we want to compete next year. And Giants fans are up in arms. You got to blow it up and rebuild. That's how a lot of them feel. Then on the flip side, the A's are telling you, we got to rebuild. It's going to take time. Show us something now. We got to win. Which one do you want? Which one do you want? On both sides of the equation, they're there, but everyone gets upset no matter what. Fair points on all sides, yeah. But that's just the emotion that comes with fandom.
I think the A's fans, the fan base, would like to just once, and I guess they did see it once when they loaded up with Samardzija and Lester and whatnot, and they actually went for it. They want to see that more often than the inevitable Sonny Gray watch about not when is he getting his extension, but when is he getting traded. When does that paradigm switch to where you have a young star player and you start to think, all right, when do we sign him to that long-term deal instead of when do we ship him out?
Who's the one we'd be looking at next?
I mean,
it was Donaldson, then it was Sonny. Who's next up? Chris Davis? Look at the guys. Follow the pattern. The guys that have a couple, 2 to 3 years left, who would be the next one up that we'd be talking about?
I'm still flummoxed about we had the best record in baseball in 2014. Why did we make those trades? They didn't need to make those trades that year. That was actually the 1 year the A's should have stuck with their team and given it a go. And maybe, and they made those deals before the trading deadline. So I, as a diehard A's fan, I like way more what the Giants are doing. They have a lot more trust and belief in their players and their scouting. And you know what? Why rebuild when you can reload? And so that's kind of their philosophy. You know, they have a great fan base. And when you rebuild, you got to have trust in your fan base that they hang in there.
All right. The last week has been a bit of a dicey situation for Raider Nation. We've been trying to figure out a lot of, shall we say, interesting storylines that could have had an effect on this team. Finally, some very, very important news yesterday. We'll have that for you next. Joe Dibbs, Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
$1,000 to give away in 30 minutes at 7 a.m. Another $1,000 to give away at 8 a.m. Bay Bridge Series tickets to give away for tonight's game at 7:20 and 8:20. Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, Brad Gilbert. Welcome to 95.7 The Game. Lo Neal on assignment in Napa. He'll be with Greg Papa and Bonte Hill today from noon to 3.
Is he checking out the defense, or do you think he's focusing on the offense?
You know what? He's got a lot to focus on because he's going to be covering the Raiders and then flying that butt of his back to the Bay Area to play at the Ellie Mae Classic Celebrity Shootout with Dibs this evening over at TPC Stonebridge.
5 o'clock tee time, so I'm hoping he gets there in time to stretch out those massive muscles because we'll need him out there.
Hey, I mean, at least you're not going 18. You're just going 5, so what do you think that'll take you, like hour and 27 minutes?
Roughly, and we're the first group out.
Hold on. Hour 27, where'd that come from? Did you just do a quick calculation?
I just threw
it's a pretty good number.
I just threw it out there, you know?
Hour 27.
Probably a little less because it's a scramble. You take the best tee shot and play from there, so there won't be any, like, five-minute searches if my ball's in the tall grass. We'll just play from wherever low is.
So, Joe, I'm a bit of a quirky dude. I never say an even number ever. If it's 30 minutes, I would say 27 minutes or 33 minutes.
See, I like that. That intrigues me because I do the same thing. So as soon as you said an hour 27, my first reaction is why? Like, why did you have that number? A good number, not questioning the number, but why?
For four people, how long does it take to play 18 holes? Around 5 hours?
4.5, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and considering I'm sure that there could be a couple of balls that are hit wayward, so you got to add a little extra time, a little figuring, celebrity issues. Yeah, buck 27.
But also, since this is a celebrity event, you get to kind of ham it up a little bit. Like the pros, you could do your best Kevin Na out there and just take your sweet time for a five-hour round.
Without a doubt. I was thinking about what gear I need to wear, if I should go with the loudmouth pants or go with the go with the funky chapeau.
No, don't go. You know what? If you're super confident in your game.
And I am.
Okay. Then you can rock something. Have you ever played in front of a gallery?
I have, yeah, actually. Oh. I famously hit a scoreboard at Stonebridge about 5 years ago with an ill-fated hybrid from about 180. Scalded a bit, Brad. Surprised that scoreboard still worked the next day.
We'll get an update on that scoreboard later today as Dibs and Lowe will be taking place in the Celebrity Shootout. Gates open at TPC Stonebridge tonight at 4 p.m. if you want to check them out. The event, I can't say kicks off or tees off. He's off at 5 p.m. All right, it's Joe, it's Dibs, it's Brad Gilbert. And the great thing about the Oakland Raiders for the last few months is how quiet it's been. Anytime you've heard news, it's, hey, Derek Carr got his extension. Hey, Marshawn Lynch is in the fold. Hey, it looks like this team is ready to take it to the next level. And that's what you want in the months of June and July. You want quiet. And yet, out of nowhere, Gary and Conley, yesterday, the news surfaces that the rookie first-rounder is going to have to face the grand jury in Ohio. This comes 3 days after Donald Penn lets it be known that he's not reporting to camp because he's not happy with his contract. So all of a sudden, camp opens, and the problems surface for the silver and black. But we have good news to report. The grand jury convened in Cuyahoga County yesterday, but they declined charges against the Raiders' first-round draft pick. This all, of course, stemming from sexual assault allegations following an April 9th incident in a Cleveland hotel. Conley called the allegations completely false, and he passed a lie detector test that, according to reports, was administered by the Baltimore Ravens heading into the draft. Now, this does not mean that Conley down the road is going to be able to avoid any sort of civil lawsuit, but in terms of a criminal lawsuit, gone. So BG for the Raiders, this was one of the biggest concerns coming into camp. Conley now dealing with shin splints. He's expected to see the field in the next few days, but here we are. This is one hell of a value pick. Because he fell to the Raiders in the 20s due to these allegations. Now that they're gone, this might be the steal of the draft.
If I'm the Raiders, I actually hire a guy. You're going to go live with this kid. You're going to watch this kid 24/7 for the next 12 to 18 months. I don't know why teams don't do that a little bit. And you know what? We're going to cultivate you so you can make good decisions. We escaped here, but let's not have anything else come up, because if something else comes up, then that all of a sudden could have a carryover to the last one.
That's what Josh Hamilton had. There was a guy living with Josh Hamilton when he was with the Rangers to try to keep him on the up and up.
Yeah, and it worked for a long time until it didn't. And ultimately, you get to a point when you're an adult and you're going to have to be responsible for your own actions. And to the point of Gary and Conley, whatever happened in Ohio happened, and he's not going to be charged, and hopefully there's no civil suit. And you just hope that he can grow from this and learn from the mistake he made, which is to put yourself in a situation where something like this could crop up. I don't know if he necessarily needs a live-in roommate, Brad, but hopefully you can help him learn from this.
I call it at 21 years old. Sometimes you can get maybe some people that you grew up with all of a sudden start hanging with you. Then maybe decision-making maybe isn't the best for you that maybe they might do, and you get dragged into situations. But it's definitely something, if I was management, I'd be looking into.
Bottom line here, and I think there are some fair points on both sides, is that he was only available for the Raiders because of these allegations. If you can go back in time and tell the other 31 NFL teams that Gary and Conley is going to face the grand jury and the grand jury is going to come back with a no bill, he's gone before the Raiders make the pick. So this is a hell of a value deal for the Oakland Raiders. Reggie McKenzie spoke to the media yesterday in Napa. Here's what he had to say about Gary and Conley.
Did smile tell you anything? And, you know, I'm excited for Gary on.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, it's tough on a young man like that to go through this. And I'm excited that for Gary on and the Raiders, you know, for the process to work that we thought. And we're excited. Now we can move forward.
Now, good news as it pertains to Conley. Still, however, at the left tackle position, Donald Penn holding out. Reggie McKenzie was asked about the Donald Penn situation yesterday in Napa. He had this to say.
Well, he's not in camp, so I kind of take it to not talk about guys that's not in camp.
Okay.
You know, Donald's my guy. Love him to death. You know, since he stepped right in, we lost Valdir. You know, I told him he's my guy, and that's not going to change. But I would love to have him. If you guys can go down in L.A. and drive him up, I appreciate it. But we're just going to focus on these young guys that's practicing now and get those guys some reps, and we're going to move. We're going to just keep moving. We got to practice. I want him in camp. He has a deal. We don't talk contract unless the guy's here. So we're waiting.
Raider Nation, we are opening it up to you next. 888-957-9570. The phone number, 888-957-9570. How do you feel about the Donald Penn situation? Do you agree that Penn deserves more money, or do you agree with management that he should be in camp honoring his contract? 888-957-9570. It's Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Joe, Dibbs, and Brad Gilbert, great to have you in this morning. It's an Oakland Raider-heavy conversation now, and then we're back to the MLB trade deadline fallout at 7 a.m. We've also got $1,000 to give away at 7 a.m., same thing at 8 a.m., and then tickets to tonight's game between the Giants and the A's at 7:20 and 8:20. Also, mark it down, Bobby Evans will join us today at 9:30 to talk post-trade deadline moves for the San Francisco Giants. The conversation is on Donald Penn. We heard in the last segment from Reggie McKenzie, he wants Donald Penn in camp, naturally, but what's going to happen next? The Gary and Conley situation has been resolved. Now, Conley is battling shin splints. He's expected to miss the next few days, but the Raiders aren't too worried he will be in camp and ready to practice soon. The same, however, cannot be said about Donald Penn. Brad Gilbert, great to have you in as always. If you're Reggie McKenzie, how do you handle this situation? 1 year left on a 2-year deal. The Raiders owe Penn this season just under $6 million. If you're Reggie, are you paying him or are you not letting him hold out?
You know what? He only signed in 2016 a 2-year deal. He's going to be 35 years old. He misses a couple weeks in camp. It's not helping his situation, nor to get a deal the next time. But if I'm the Raiders, sorry, I'm not paying you any more money. You just signed the deal. And if all of a sudden you renegotiate and give him an extra $5 million bucks because they think he deserves it or he thinks he deserves it, how is that going to play out for about 3 or 4 other guys all of a sudden in the same scenario? Say, you know what? Jeez, that worked. Maybe I had to try that. But it's not a 4-year deal where he's in the last year. It was a 2-year deal that 1 year is down. No way I'm giving him any more money.
None whatsoever.
Zero.
And then if Penn decides he's not going to play, you're going to get in the week 1, week 2, you're going to still maintain that position.
Yeah.
Dibs. Crazy?
It's not crazy, but I think ill-advised. When you just click back to last year and why the season unraveled the way it did, it's because Donald Penn missed a block. He made one mistake all year. Derek Carr got his leg broke, and that was the story there. So if you don't have Donald Penn and you go with Vidal Alexander and Marshall Newhouse as your tackles, all of a sudden now you don't have the best offensive line in football or arguably the best O-line in football. All of a sudden now you have a couple of tackles with limited experience out there, and your $25 million a year quarterback is going to be at risk. I'm with Brad in principle, but in actuality, when you start to think about what's at stake, what's really at stake here, you're a Super Bowl contender with a bright young quarterback who you cannot have get injured.
So you think he wants more than he wants, like 2 or 3 years added? Because guy's going to be 35 years old. So would give me a number that you would be fine that, okay, we're just going to focus on this year.
I would say it's money, not years for me. If he wanted, instead of just short of 6 this year, if he wanted 10 for this year, fine. Give him 10.
6 to 10. So you're going to.
But no additional years, Brad. I don't want to give him any additional years, but a little bit of extra money, fine. If that's what it takes to get you into camp, I get you in for $9 million.
I'm working this back channels. I think part of this is Penn doesn't want to be in training camp. And I don't blame him. There are a lot of veterans that don't want to strap on the pads and go through the two-a-days, be in the heat. Brett Favre did this every year for like the final 3 years of his career. He knew he was coming back. He just didn't want to have to show up for camp and go through all that nonsense. He just wanted to show up and play football.
But in theory, though, every day that he's missing, don't you some sort of fine system?
Well, it's in play, but then what normally happens is the team can go ahead and waive it. Like that happened with, I'm not sure which defender it was for the Seahawks. It may have been Chancellor when he was looking for the new deal, but all those fines racked up into the season. And then when they got the new deal done, they went ahead and got rid of the fines. They can waive that if they want.
Okay, if I have no confidence in the two backups and the makeshift that we'd have to do without him, I'm not going to give him any more years. Maybe I give him max and say, listen, we'll give you $100,000 a game. Come in tomorrow extra. So that's $1.6 million, and I give you another $250,000 a playoff game win.
All right, so you might end up making, if you stay healthy, about $2 million more. That's not bad. He's not going to want the incentive, so he's going to want it guaranteed. This has to be done through back channels,
too. But you know, for him, though, he's actually playing, in theory, at his age. He's not getting a long-term deal. He's playing to get another gig for 2018. So,
that's a great point.
So if he all of a sudden plays poorly because he's off to a late start, how much potentially does he lose to his next employer if it's not the Raiders?
Well, you've got to factor in that. You've got to factor in the way in which this is being handled, too. We're going to talk to Scott Baer today. We got Papa at 7:30. I'll ask him this. We got Scott Baer at 8:30. Did Penn and his representation at any point try to reach out to the front office about this before they went public and he didn't show up? Because this puts the team in a dicey situation. It's a smart leverage play from Penn's perspective because he waits until the team parts ways with Austin Howard. He waits until camp starts, and then he just tells you, not showing up. That's a monkey in the wrench. Or that's a monkey wrench in the plans, I guess is what I meant to say there. But that caught him off guard. Now, if you had let them know through back channels, look, I'm not happy with the contract. I'd like to get something done. But you keep it private. That allows Reggie and the organization to try to help you without egg ending up on their face. In this scenario, you've got nothing that can be done over the next couple weeks. You can't solve this in a week. Because if Reggie comes out tomorrow and says, we went ahead and gave Donald $3 more million, he's going to be in camp tomorrow. Like you said, Brad, every other player on that roster is looking at that going, wow, they it's easy to squeeze this organization for some more cash.
They have to be able to somehow keep this on the QT. They just can't have it play out that three to five other guys, it's not the guy himself, it's his agent. It's his representation. All of a sudden, there's a win. We need to get a win.
Let's ask for more. Let's go in there and ask for our contract to be ripped up and start over. I think it's telling the way Reggie reacted that there's not super acrimony yet, because Reggie was still basically saying that he loves Donald Penn, he wants Donald Penn in camp, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't sense any animosity. He might have been surprised by the fact that this popped up, but it doesn't seem like it totally came out of left field for Reggie McKenzie.
What is the time frame, Joe, you give it, that all of a sudden you start to have concern? Before they break?
2 to 3. I would say if this goes past 2 weeks, that's when we really start talking about it and we say, how much longer is Donald Penn willing to hold out? But we see this every year with certain teams, and then deals get done right before the end of camp.
When do we break Napa? How many days left do we have in Napa? A couple weeks?
I'm just off the top of my head.
It's like 3 weeks. Yeah, I believe so.
So if we've broken Napa and haven't got this resolved, then it becomes a problem, at least for me, and that, man, he's missed a lot of reps. How is his shape going to be? And I understand at his age, he wants to kind of limit what's happening now. But at some point, that's a key position that you have to figure out.
If you're Reggie and the Raiders, and I'm sure that some will feel this to be perhaps unethical, but I'd hire a PI and try to figure out what exactly Donald Penn's financial situation is. Meaning, how many game checks is he willing to miss this season? If you find out that he's done a great job of saving money, investing money, and he's in a good position, then you realize, all right, maybe this guy is willing to wait us out. If, on the flip side, you find out that the individual perhaps wasn't as responsible with his money,
Let's get their check before he does, right?
Then you could sit there and say to yourself, the second we get to that first game check, which, what's he scheduled to make, about $5.8 million this year?
Yep.
Divide that by 16. That starts to become significant money. You can realize that, all right, if he misses week one, week two, it's going to start to add up, and then the pressure falls to the player. The onus falls on the player to break the holdout. So we'll get into this throughout the day, and we want to take your phone calls as well. We'll start with Cody in San Martin. Cody in San Martin, thanks for calling the program. Thanks for waiting on hold. Your thoughts on the Donald Penn situation?
So I'm pretty much with Dibs there on that. We're just so lacking at tackle that I think just pay him that extra couple of million. And I think the suddenness comes from the CTE study that came out last week. And I'm hearing on Papa yesterday that he's talking about it coming from his wife. So going, hey, look, you've been in the trenches playing since you were a teenager, 20 years of your life already. Who knows what's going on in your brain? If you're going to play these last couple of years, you might as well get paid for it. And I think that's why it came out right before camp instead of something that he was trying to get done in the offseason.
Fair point. Fair point. CTE is a major issue. We'll hear comments later today.
If he says that, you know what? I'm massively concerned about CTE. I'm actually thinking about not playing based upon the study. But if I am, I need my family to be rewarded. You know, have a plan of that, you know, but I wouldn't be surprised if players are going to use that for more leverage.
Then that's exactly why they need to get organized for the next collective bargaining agreement talks in a few years. The biggest problem with the NFL is there's too many players. And what happens when they roll into these negotiations is that they aren't prepared to hold out. They make it sound like they will, but they have enough guys who don't manage their money properly who put pressure on their union rep. So each team is a union rep. Well, you're going to have 10, 15 guys who don't manage their money, and they want this deal done so they can get back on the field. They don't care. So they pressure the hell out of their union reps. Then all the union reps are coming together. They're feeling the heat. The league's feeling the heat. And a deal gets done. But ultimately, it doesn't protect the players the way they want to be protected. If you really want to make a change, if you really want the collective bargaining agreement to shift in a massive way to where you've got guaranteed deals and better protection against CTE, you need to hold out and miss games. That's the only way the owners will ever understand. You hit them with their bottom line. You don't hit them with a headline in the media. They don't care. That most of these guys own media. Sheldon Adelson wanted to be own a part of the Raiders. He owns the media in Nevada. Like, these guys control the message. You leaking something, oh, you know, he's been mean to me, or they don't care about us. They doctored the study. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
What they care about is their bottom line. You hit them at their bottom line, that's when you can exact change.
And they can't do that until the CBA gets reopened in 2019 before it expires in 2020. So until then, you're just going to have to endure with the system that you have. And I say endure. Poor Donald Penn making close to $6 million this year, more than I'll make in my entire lifetime. But if they want actual change to come to their workplace, it's got to come through the CBA.
What is this story where you and I are getting linked in on Twitter? Thanks to Pam Cook from KTVU linking us in on this. The football season at Novato High School is in jeopardy of shutting down. Not enough players meeting tomorrow on campus?
Yeah, it's apparently an ongoing thing. And this is from one of the great programs historically in Marin. Kids are going to either San Marin or Marin Catholic. There's not enough kids. They had spring and summer practice, and they had between, I think, 3 and 8 kids show up for summer conditioning. And
3 to 8? Well, how many kids go to the school?
I think about 1,400. So you're talking about...
That's not a small school.
No, no, 350 per grade. It's a good-sized school.
I mean, the San Rafael's, and I believe the Novato's could be the smallest. Maybe Drake is the smallest in the district. But there's two high schools in Novato, San Marin and Novato. My daughter happened to go to the art school at Novato for a couple of years, but leads me to believe that they'll have to have a combined one team between the two schools. It would be a travesty. Didn't Travis LeBoy?
Marin Catholic.
No, who was the there was one guy. Who was the guy? Was it Brad Muster? Somebody played?
San Marin High, yeah.
Who do we have from the
end? How far could this game go?
Keep going, Gilbert. Gilbert and I go deep.
How far could this game go? I mean, Dibs isn't even hesitating right now.
I want to think Novato High has had a couple guys to the NFL. Who have they had?
To the NFL?
Yes.
He's getting more general now. Now he's really the 70s, Dibs.
I know. Boy, I'm going back to my childhood.
Here's what we'll do. We'll get back into this.
But they've had a good program.
Yeah.
We'll get back into this because I'm fascinated by this. A school with 1,400 kids in the Bay Area can't field a football team. 888-957-9570. What's going on there? Plus, all the post-MLB trade deadline fallout. Sonny's gone. How do you feel about the direction of the A's? How do you feel about the direction of the Giants? Hit us up. All your stuff plus $1,000 in 1 minute. Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.